Okadon, what's going on, sir? Welcome back.
Another episode, man.
Another week. How's your week?
Pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of basketball this week.
A lot of basketball. A lot of pre-training for basketball season and for the current one. Yeah, it's preseason.
But you got a season coming up real soon.
We got a season ending, and we have a season coming up. So the transition is, and now I'm going to be head coaching. So going back
to our youth sports episode. You're about to transition in a few weeks.
I might have to go listen to myself to remind myself some of those
things. Go back and listen to the episode so you can remember what kind of coach to be.
I'm sure
you got a plan put in place already.
Yeah, we got some things planned for these kids. Okay. And they're older now, so they can handle a little more, or should be able to
should
handle
be.
A little more.
There's the definition, should be.
Should, yeah. Keyword is should.
Yeah. So I got a season winding down. Two more weeks.
Well, right. You about to become
unless we make the playoffs, then it'll extend out a little bit more from there. But
you about to be a free man, and I'm about to go into lockdown.
But I got to figure out what the next move is.
That's true.
Because we can't stay idle. You know, in this world, this athletics is too much of a
separation. Absolutely.
If they stay idle, so I got to figure out which basketball program. Well, unfortunately, we can't make it all the way up here into the boonies where you are.
And listen, be able to participate in the same program.
I know Dylan. He really wants to, but he couldn't convince Mama.
Well, we're gonna miss him.
Yeah,
but I was looking forward to him joining us and kind of running it back.
I mean, but you need his defense, that's for sure. But.
Well, defense and also help him develop
in prep for football
because since basketball helped him so much, right?
But that's good. So I've got some kids that I believe will be returning for football.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of working on, you know, having some conversation with the parents and getting a core little group together so that in the off season, we can throw together some little clinics, get some work done.
The one benefit that basketball has that football doesn't. Is that
indoors?
Yeah. Where we can be 24/365.
That's true.
That's the only issue with football.
Yeah, but you know,
or baseball.
There actually are some potential indoor options.
There are, but so just not as frequent.
It's not as easy to find a court.
Right.
But you know, listen.
You can always jump in on a practice with us just to kind of keep things going, right?
So, listen, where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
And we'll figure it out.
Yes, sir.
So, all right. Well. On to this week's episode. And this is one that as we were talking about different episodes to do, and I was kind of thinking through what would be a fun, interesting conversation. Not one that we have to drag out too long, but I'm just curious to see where our perspective goes.
Okay.
So just to warm up to the conversation.
Sure.
So the title of the episode is The Toughest Sport, right? But what I mean by that is, so I've heard different conversations out there in the, I don't know if it's not the Twitterverse anymore. Is it like the X-verse? I don't know.
Sounds like X-Men.
Out there in the internet somewhere that, like, what is harder to do? Hit a 98 mile an hour fastball. Get a hole in one from a couple hundred feet away. Right. You know, when they hit those like.
Right.
Couple hundred foot chip
yards or whatever
chip shot, 100 not feet. Yards.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, right.
Those drives, chip shots, long drives, but they get hole in one,
right?
Like Steph did. Steph got that hole in one,
yep.
One of those pinpoint, like 30, 40 yard passes that just drops in on a dime that you literally couldn't put the ball anywhere else. But right there, because the receiver doesn't have to make any adjustment, it just falls into their hands before his side. Like one of the catches I'm thinking about is like the Julio Jones catch in the Super Bowl,
where
it was right there on the sideline, just enough space for him to tiptoe. Like the accuracy that all of these have to take,
right?
Drilling a shot fully contested, drilling a three fully contested, where the ball just goes over the fingertip, like. All of these, the error of margin is extremely slim. That's why they're professionals, right?
Of course.
Yeah. But I've heard the conversation, like, which one is the hardest to do? So just curious, out of the ones, that, examples we've shown, but if you want to put it, throw another one in there.
Sure.
This is not the toughest sport yet, so let's go there. But, like, just out of those, an action from a sport or something like that, what do you think is the hardest?
I think it's those. I agree. Like golf, 300 yards away or 200 yards away, or even 100 yards away, hole in one is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially guys who like, have you seen them when it skips over the water and still makes it on the green?
Yeah, that's insane.
I think that bowling a perfect game, 300, that's incredibly difficult. Right? That's just
so
like,
you're considering bowling a sport.
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to upset any bowling fans.
Listen, man, I consider it a sport.
No, it's
there are some other sports per se I don't consider a sport, but bowling is a sport. Yes, yeah, so, and because to me, bowling, scoring a perfect game literally means copy and paste, and then having that like, conditioning yourself to do that.
Same thing. Like the margin is so slim.
Right. Right.
Every time you bowl.
But you can't even get a spare. It has to be a perfect strike every pin.
And you got what, like 10, 13?
13 pins.
13 perfect rolls.
Right. So it's literal copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you get it on the first one. Yeah. I just wanted to add that to the list you provided already.
So which one do you think is the hardest?
Out of that list.
That comprehensive list that we developed. Well,
it depends. Like, are you talking about throughout the course of the whole...
No, just to
or just
do.
That one thing
just
to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think golf is probably one of the toughest ones because there's just so many elements. It's like yay big and the like, it's, you know what I mean? Like it's, you can't even say like, you know, it felt like shooting a tennis ball into the ocean, right? Cause it's not one of those analogies that you get in basketball.
Right.
And also the ball, because it's flying so high in the air, like the wind element, like it's just too many elements or extra variables that are part of that.
Okay.
In my opinion.
See, I think, man, like trying to hit a 98 mile an hour fastball and like the pinpoint accuracy that you have to have, because you have to wind up, you have to swing, and you gotta get it at just the right like millisecond.
That's a good one.
Like I just can't even imagine how, again, like the to not just strike out every time. That's why they have the batting averages that are
so three, low. Like, and three is like that's supposed to be a good batting average,
right?
It's
like average, like 300, that's a great
320, 330 is like a great batting average.
Right. So
that's another one.
That one to me is just one that
especially
comes,
guys who like are home run kings. Right. Like that is like, incredible.
And they've got the power behind it, but the
minus
power
they're not
and
like
accuracy.
Cheating or whatever. Yeah. Like just but I agree. 100. That's another one. Yeah.
Okay.
A hole in one and that. Also, like a hole in one with, you know, you're on multiple different greens, right? The pitch thing is, you know, like, okay, you can have a variable of pitches, but the mound and the base are always going to remain the same distance. Mm. Whereas a green can change. The landscape changes. There's so many different other variables. That's why I find it a little tougher to get a hole in one.
Bro, 98 mile an hour.
Oh, no, I agree. Like, that's 1A, 1B,
the ball
right?
stationary.
Right.
The ball you're hitting is stationary.
That's true.
There's other elements that go into
agreed.
Like, you don't have to hit something coming at you 98 miles an hour.
That's true.
That's great. So, and then there's others, like, you look at the skill that it takes in boxing or, you know, MMA and just different, because there's a lot of skill. And I think one of the common denominators is the fact that there's such little room in any professional sport for there's like little room for to not be accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's little room for error.
At the professional level, sure. Yeah,
there's just such little room for error. And
listen,
that's why we see these like amazing catches, amazing passes, amazing shots, amazing, you know, things that happen in golf or whatever the case is, where it just blows our mind because they're just the skill level.
The probability of that happening as much as it does is beyond the normal person's ability.
Well, and as we just continue to evolve, like the athleticism, the skill level, and everything that's behind it makes it even more like shocking the things that these professionals are able to do on a regular basis.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
It's crazy.
So, I guess with the baseball, what about 115 mile per hour serve that comes your way in tennis.
Tennis.
And you have to hit that back soft so it does lands right inside that square or that rectangle.
There you go. That's another great example.
Right? That's tough.
Another great example.
And then you have to, the volume, like that's a tough one.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a great example. And then especially when you're just out there alone on an island by yourself. I mean, you even look at football, right? Like if you look at hard positions to play, like corners, right? Like you're just, unless you're running a zone or something, but generally you're out there on an island.
If it's mano y mano, I mean, that's tough.
You've got like Tyreek Hill lined up in front of you. Like you talk about the margin.
The guy known as Cheetah.
Talk about the margin of error being slim. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
You slip for like a millisecond or you're not paying attention for a millisecond. Like,
this sounds like the Super Bowl when Jamar Chase was wide open at the end against the Rams.
And he needed one more millisecond to get that ball off.
Yeah.
And
Aaron Donald did his
thing.
Yeah.
Error of margin is so slim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's lead that into, unless you have any more questions anything else you want to bring up.
No.
All right, let's lead that into the,
it's a good little warm up
to the main event.
Okay.
And so what I wanted to propose to you is that we have a debate.
Okay.
And we told each other we were going to have a debate, but we have no idea what the other person's coming with.
Right.
About the toughest sport and what we believe the toughest sport is, and make an argument for it, and then we'll see what the audience thinks.
Okay.
At the end.
Sure.
So, and then we can give a couple honorable mentions at the end after we feel like we have completely and wholly given our our entire case, business case.
How much time rationale. Do we have?
Hey,
no, keep it short.
Listen, we got all the time we want. It's our podcast. That's true. But we'll try to keep it concise. Yeah. Debate a little bit and then we'll see what everybody else thinks.
Sure.
So, and by toughest, that, because it's you, I didn't put any constraints on. I'm like, he going to color outside the lines anyway. So
I'm glad you came with that open mind.
Toughest could mean hardest. It could mean needing the most skill. Like it could mean a lot of things.
Okay.
That's how you want to define what is the hard or the toughest.
Okay.
So with that, sir, I'm giving you the floor first.
So
he's gonna bring like cricket or something. I just know it. I just know he's gonna bring some obscure sport.
No, so with that being, I wanna preface this.
Oh boy.
I'm already gonna start with coloring outside the lines.
See y'all, this is what I deal with.
Just keeps things, you know, a little exciting.
Keep a little fresh.
Yeah, okay. A little exciting, right? A little suspense. To me, toughest sport breaks down into two categories: contact versus non-contact. Right? Are you playing a team sport or are you playing a solo sport? We talked about golf, tennis versus football, right? And boxing, solo, MMA, solo. So it depends. But even without that, let's just say you, regardless of that, then it comes down to if it's contact or non-contact. Then that's another thing. Duration for me has a big thing. How long do you have to last in this sport? Because that's a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
We train our kids about conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're participating, you know, for example, football, right? Football, it's a 3-hour-ish game. That's how long the event is. However, actual action time, play time is only 11 minutes or so in a game. So really 11 minutes of actual action happens on the field, which they make a huge spectacle 3 hours long out of it.
What are you talking about, for any position player? Or
I'm talking about just NFL overall.
In total?
Yeah, in total it's 11-ish minutes, 12-ish minutes. So you're really going to watch 12 minutes of actual action for 3 hours.
Might be a little longer than that.
Sure. Okay, 15, right? And then that is even divided between offense and defense, depends what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the totality is that. But it's because it's so high intense and high contact and dangerous, that's the part that makes it really tough or puts in the category of tough. So the duration in that sport is not as critical, in my opinion, Whereas basketball, you're playing offense and defense okay. in the same position, whereas football, you're not.
Okay.
Now, so I have two different answers for this because... So
no, you only got one.
No. You did not put any constraints around this. So
this now I'm facing a 2-on-1.
No, you're not.
Yeah, because you got two answers and I got one.
Okay. But I broke the categories down for you. But even then, you may have an answer. Which, so when I say the toughest sport is for me, it's either boxing or MMA. That is the toughest sport. Like the level of conditioning, there's a guy who is literally aiming at your face at the whole time you're in that ring. It's not a big ring. You don't have help. You can't get a screen. You can't get a block, right? It's just you and this guy trying to punch each other's face out. And the other thing that really matters to me is the consequences of the sport, whereas you can potentially die or get paralyzed or handicapped or injured or go blind in an eye, whatever, right? You can lose teeth. That's a big deal because now you're impacting your life. When you're impacting your life, that makes it tough because now you have to live in that condition. So that's one part of it. That's why MMA and boxing for me are like you really are a different type of person if you're willing to get in that ring with somebody to duke it out. My respects to you. I'd never mess with you. So that's one side of it.
But those are generally much more short contact.
Correct.
Short contact.
They are.
Okay. I just wanted to make that point.
Well, short contact in a sense that you're not really tackling somebody, but you're really aiming for their face.
No, but the whole time you're in there. Boxing, you can go 12 rounds, mm-hmm. but you may only land.
That's true.
Like a lot of boxing, depending on the fight and the fighters, can just be a lot of moving around the ring.
That's true. Depends on
with
the
little contact. Right.
It depends on who the fighters are. Like right, Floyd is more of a defensive fighter.
Right. Or a fight could be over in two rounds.
Correct. Correct, exactly. Right.
So it's a much shorter...
But if it is over in two rounds, the guy who got knocked out pretty badly, like that's going to be a tough thing to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, like the factor of the harm you put yourself, the way, you know, putting yourself in harm's way, where it's going to impact your life.
Okay.
You're going to live longer than you're going to fight.
So, I hear you.
So that's one part of it. So MMA is another one, right? Like that's super contact. Whereas boxing is not as much contact.
So how many times would you, and I know, and please, for anybody listening, I know we're not going to have the exact data at the tip of our fingertips because it ain't that deep. But boxing, they don't box that many times a year. They don't box they spend a lot of time prepping for that one boxing match. And even MMA, they're not going to fight but a couple times a year.
That's true.
Right? So again, the harm
you're putting yourself in.
Okay. I just want to make a few points as I lead up to mine.
Those are valid points.
I just want to make some valid points as I lead up to mine, but go ahead. It's all good.
Those are great points because, and there's also some fighters who are a little bit more active than others.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if this is actually fully accurate, but I believe like Logan Paul, apparently, like he fights pretty frequently. From my understanding, I don't know. Mm. No, I don't know.
No, I think you're thinking about his brother Jake.
Oh, Jake Paul. I'm sorry, Jake Paul.
But he's not fighting.
So again, people may have opinions about that, right? So I don't know. Like
he's not fighting professional boxers.
And but we've seen professional NFL players who have been bowed out in a boxing ring.
Yeah.
So not
still, it's not the same. But still got props for him for getting in there.
I know is that if Mike Tyson was in the ring, or Muhammad Ali, or Evander Holyfield, or those guys, or Roy Jones, God bless, brother.
Yeah.
God bless.
Okay.
Better you than me.
Okay. That was category one.
That's category one. So right. MMA in boxing. The other one for... Now, this is more so duration rather than... because boxing is what, 3 minute rounds, 1 minute in between, mm-hmm. up to 12 rounds.
Okay.
Now, the other one is, and the good thing about this one is that because not a lot of people are going to go box, but many people can do this or try to get ready to do this. It's a little bit more feasible if you were to go say, oh, I'm going to go try something versus go, I'm going to go try box. It's going to take a lot of work to get ready for this, but it's, I can muster up a little bit of strength, even go try a fraction of this, which is the Ironman triathlon.
Mm.
A 140.6 is what they call the full one.
Mm.
So let me read you some of the, what you have to do here.
Okay.
You have to do a 2.4 mile swim.
Okay.
Then go straight into a 112 mile bike ride. Now you don't know what the terrain is either.
Right.
Or the weather conditions are going to be. And right after you finish that, you have to go into a 26.2 mile marathon run.
Mm.
So you have to finish all that consecutively, no breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So like the endurance you need to have, the mental toughness, the dexterity, like there's just so many different levels of skills you need, physical and emotional and mental, to go through something like that. That is, to me, like just truly next level, non-contact related. But the duration, and they have some rules, I believe, where if you don't finish it in a certain time, you're disqualified, because you're not going to finish in the span of a day that you're allotted to finish this. So just to think about it, you sit down to watch football, 3 hours, right? Basketball, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, or any most sports. But to sit down to watch this, and or be an athlete to go through something like this, oh, I got to finish this in 13 hours. Right, I have 13 hours to finish this. And just to think about that, like, I got to swim, what, 2.5 miles? Go straight into a 112-mile bike ride? That's insane.
That's insane.
And then to go straight, like, and I'm just thinking, like, there is no part of that, the training for that, where you could say, I can skip this or not work on that.
No.
There's nothing. There, you have to do a full package. Right? And even conditioning for it, to do something like that, I wonder how many years it takes these guys or these people, these men and women who choose to even, you know, dare to do something like this. It's insane. Mm. And I watched some of these, but I've never sat for like the whole time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know anyone who does, except the people running it or their family members, like hopefully my
people participating.
Or their members, right? Their family who are going to say, oh, I'm going to watch. Hopefully they make it, they finish. Like, I heard about these marathons that they run here in D.C. about, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But this, like, swimming, I don't know about that. For me, probably that's the toughest sport, non-contact related.
So in your research, did you find how many of those are run every year?
Yeah, there's actually, so Ironman is a company that does it.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, I don't know what the actual one's called, but Ironman is the actual kind of like, I guess they've kind of like taken over the whole sport in that sense. And they run them in many different countries. So it's all different types of terrains and whatever not. So you really can't prepare fully the way you like to.
Mm-hmm.
They do run quite a few. But I don't know what the total number offhand right now is.
Okay.
But they do, that's the full one. It's called the 140.6. And then the half one is a 70.3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably have a quarter one. So I'm assuming if you do something like this, you want to gradually...
like work your way up.
Yeah, get to the PhD course, because that's insane.
He said, get to the PhD course.
Yeah, that's
just... you got to start at an associate's first.
Correct. Forget that. Get a diploma, bro. Get a diploma first.
Get a GED first. Yeah,
exactly. That's crazy.
Get a GED first. Do a swim a quarter mile, bike a mile, and then run a mile. Right. There's your GED.
There you go. There you go.
And
all that within a certain time frame. You can't even like...
right.
First, just do it, then do it in a time frame.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's me.
So you let me just sit back and assess this real quick. So
because I didn't do it based on like how we spoke earlier, right? Like to do a hole in one, to do
of course not.
to hit a baseball, like those are specific acts. This is
that's what I wanted. Yeah.
Right.
So
okay.
No, so that's good. I mean, I wanted you to pick a sport.
I did.
To argue the singular sport that would be toughest. That was the intent of the episode. But so you picked three, which is great. Did I? Yes.
I picked two.
You picked three. Boxing, MMA. They're different. They're very different.
Okay.
You get a boxer versus that's what
it is. It is.
That's what that Logan and Jake are, but they, that's what they get flack for, is that they will box MMA fighters.
Right.
And that the MMA fighters are not boxers, and it's a completely different skill set.
But boxers can go become, or like what was it, Connor? He tried boxing.
I mean, he tried, but it didn't work. Right, I mean, that's the point. It's a completely different skill set. It's a different sport.
It is a different sport. It's a different sport. There's a little bit of crossover, though, between the two.
It's a different sport.
If you say so.
I don't, off the top of my head, I cannot recall a single MMA fighter that has gone to become a good boxer.
And I can't think the other way around either, though.
So again, yeah. They're great.
There's a crossover in training, but I wouldn't say it's like a one-to-one. It's definitely not.
So
no, it's
so
a different
three sports. I picked two and a half sports. You picked three sports. It's okay. It's all right.
Sure.
All right.
You asked me to do something. I did it, but I just went above and beyond. That's all.
I picked one.
Okay.
Singular sport.
Sure.
So I was asking some of those questions for a reason. Mm. So thank you for entertaining my inquiries.
Sure.
I love the fact that you set it up with the whole contact versus non-contact and the time that you actually spend doing the activity. Mm. And then the other piece that I would add to that is the duration of time you do it throughout a calendar year.
Okay.
So you got basketball, 82 games.
Right.
NFL, 17 games. Very different contact levels, different time of span that you're actually performing the activity. Mm. Same thing with boxing or MMA, right? Mm. You're a couple fights a year, you spend a lot of time training for it, but a couple times a year, and you are, 12 rounds, couple rounds in MMA, and you're done till your next fight a few months later.
The big difference, though, is the level of how dangerous
let me staircase this for you. Okay, so I'm adding to that. Even the triathlon, same thing, right? Couple times. Nobody's doing this regularly. Let's just
no, they do.
No,
they do. It's almost like monthly, or at least
even if they do it monthly,
sure,
that's amazing. Mm. That's great, but they're not doing it daily.
No, of course not.
Okay. So what I chose was a sport where you are required to have to be performing athletic stuff. Mm. I'll just call it stuff.
Stuff.
Athletics, because I don't want to give anything away. You're performing athletic stuff for longer than you'd be playing, in most cases, and longer than you'd be playing a football game.
Okay.
In totality of the time you'd be on the field.
Okay.
Or basketball. You definitely be going longer than most boxing or MMA. It is equally as dangerous. And not only is it dangerous for you, it's dangerous for the other person or people that participate in this with you.
Is it marriage?
And yes, that's the answer. All right, we're out, folks. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just sounded like everything you said. Check. It's dangerous for everybody if you misstep.
Don't misstep. Right. It's way more dangerous than boxing in that case. Right.
I'm crying.
Oh, dear God. Ooh, I don't even know how to recover after that one. And So you spend a lot of time doing this. You got to train for it as well. In the very little spare time that you have, you have to train for it.
Okay.
You got to spend a lot of time doing the actual activity.
Okay.
Do you do it almost every day?
Okay.
For hundreds of days a year.
Okay.
It's not quite in the 300 days like it used to be in the old school days, and we'll get into that. But you're still doing it 3-4 times a week on the regular, including traveling from a different place every single day.
Okay.
When you have to do this, so you have travel on top of it. You got to get your workouts and your training in.
Okay.
You got to do the actual activity anywhere from could be anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 plus minutes of activity time. And equally as dangerous, because you've got your life and another person's life or another people's life in your hands. And that, my friend, is the World Wrestling Entertainment. World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. These folks, these guys and gals, are the most athletic individuals in my mind, hands down, on the face of the planet. Think about it. They start in one town today. Okay? They wrestle a 20-minute match against another person. When we talk about the error of margin being so slim, think about some of the stuff that they do, right? You go up on the top rope and you got another guy who you guys are going to just a simple move, a suplex off the top rope. Any slight over rotation, you don't have your arm cradled under the other guy's neck or girl's neck whenever you're doing it. Like, the other person's life is literally in the other person's hands with 9 out of every 10 moves. It's the one person trusting the other person with their body. When the guys jump out of the ring over the ropes, right? They're trusting that the person's going to catch them, right? And break their fall so that the floor doesn't break their fall. Like, literally, almost all of the moves have very dangerous outcomes if they are not done. When we talk about, and that's why I wanted to preface everything with the error of margin being so slim, the error of margin is so slim. And a lot of times they leave that match, no matter how well it went, banged up, because that mat that they fall on, it's not a bed. That's not a trampoline. Like, it hurts. It hurts to take what they call bumps, right? Have you heard that term before?
Yeah, yeah.
To take a bump?
Yep.
Like, take a simple back bump. Like, if you just took back bumps for like 5 minutes, you would have trouble walking the next day as somebody who's never done it before, right? If you just stepped in, just take just a simple standing squat, boom, flat back, you have to have your arms flat, back bump, you would have trouble walking the next day. So they do this all in one town, and then they go get in their cars, and then they drive to the next town, and then they wake up the next morning, they got to train, they got to get their workouts in, get to the arena so they can work with whoever they're putting their bodies on the line with again to do the same thing the next night. And they do this over and over and over again, multiple times a week for the entire year to entertain people. And that doesn't include matches that involve actual objects like a ladder or a chair or even just doing a simple like break through a table. Like, it still hurts. You're still like, those objects still are physical objects that you go through, right? Like, if somebody like throws a ladder at you, that hurts. If somebody takes a chair and smacks it over your back, guess what? That hurts.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
And they do things to protect each other, but, right. like, at the end of the day, they hurt often. And there's one visual that I love that sums it up beautifully. And that is, so everybody can go look it up. If you've never seen it before, you can look it up. So Cody Rhodes tore his pec in a match. But they had a match coming up called Hell in a Cell. Have you ever heard of Hell in a Cell?
Yeah.
You remember from back in the day when Mankind got thrown off?
Yeah.
You remember, so, again.
Yeah, I believe so.
I was there.
Okay.
That would be another episode for another day. Hmm. Ken's greatest wrestling moments. Because I was there in the arena as a teenager. Like, he got thrown off the top of the cage onto a table. Hmm. Like, you can't fake that. There's no there's no faking of that. Like, he legitimately could have died. We thought he died in the arena. Hmm. Like, there was, like, how is he getting up from that? Never seen anything like that before. They're about to do a Hell in a Cell match. He tore his pec a couple days before. So he comes out, he takes his robe off in the Hell in a Cell, and it's just this entire bruise, his whole pec down his arm. And he sat and did an entire 25-minute match with a whole steel cell around, getting thrown into it, objects, chairs, tables, like all of it. With a torn pec. Bruh, you cannot convince me that there's another sport that does their sport as frequently as WWE with a margin of error that's so slim that you could paralyze somebody. And it's happened many times in wrestling. Dudes have been paralyzed for life because they took a move the wrong way, or temporarily paralyzed and were out for a long time having to do therapy and whatnot. Like Stone Cold, he got paralyzed, and thankfully he was able to come back for a short time, but it definitely cut his career short, for sure. And they do it for, I mean, back in the old days, they used to go like 365 days a year. They used to wrestle, bro, twice in one day. They would wrestle in the morning in one town, drive to another town, and wrestle in the evening, doing the same stuff. So when you talk about duration, physicality, the fact that like you got to have the cardio and conditioning to go. Now, in old days, it was a little different because they were more like the bigger, bulky, muscular types where you can have the slower matches, which... But today, if you watch it, bro, they're all over the place for an entire match. They don't stop. There's no like timeout or break. Like they keep going and going and going and going until that 20-minute match is over. High athleticism for the duration that they do it, for the fact that not only can you get hurt seriously, but the person who you're in there with can also get hurt seriously. I mean, the most recent example is there's a guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of the New Day, but Big E, a year and a half ago, he got picked up by another guy, and they were outside the ring, and he did a backward, like he bear hugged him belly to belly, has a belly to belly suplex. He landed on his head, hasn't wrestled since. Just the error of like he again over rotated a little bit. The dude let go just like a second too early of Big E's body. Head hit straight down on the mat. Error of margin so slim. Dude's been out. He may not wrestle again. So, duration, physical contact, physicality, and total level of like. The potential of death or paralyzed, like you can't beat. That is the toughest sport to do and the toughest to get into.
Okay. That's it.
That's my case.
Okay. I don't fully agree with you because there's a whole theatrical side of the sport, and those guys who are in the ring, yes, absolutely super dangerous. Like some of that stuff they do. I remember one match. Who's Vince? Vince, the owner, right? Mm-hmm. His son was apparently matching somebody, and it was like those cage matches, and you were at the top, and they were gonna do a suplex from up there. Yeah. It was crazy. Like just the things that you see guys doing. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Very dangerous. Needs super athleticism. Yes, the whole. You don't generally. So timeout really is two guys rolling around for a while, pretending they are probably hurt, but they're just kind of like, can't reach. I can't tag my partner, whatever it is. But, however, comma, all to say that, they are not in there to actually physically hurt each other. Yes, you have those things, right? You're actually helping cradle somebody. You're helping them land correctly. You're helping them so they don't get paralyzed or hurt. So that's the theatrical side of it. It's absolutely dangerous, right? The margin of error is super slim, correct? That's why they're professionals. But their sole purpose is not to be in the ring to punch somebody's lights out, literally, and that's your whole purpose of being there. Your purpose of there is to entertain together, not to hurt each other to the point where I want you to go to the next town and wrestle with me. I don't want to stop you from wrestling. But in boxing, I am trying to take you out, and you're never going to wrestle me again because you're so scared of me. So the two different, or MMA, there's two different factors. There's the theatrical side is not there. And that's the part where I'm saying, yes, duration-wise, absolutely. Is it a top toughest sport? I agree. Is it the toughest? No. Not for that. For that reason solely, no.
So I disagree because so with the boxing MMA, you have the short term, you have the physical pain from a short term duration, but you still, even though it theatrical has nothing to do with it.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Because you're supporting, like you said it yourself.
You're still supporting.
I have to support the guy so he doesn't, I let go too early because of that. Now,
but you are, but that don't matter because you still have to make it believable when they're throwing punches.
That's the point.
They're not.
I don't have to make it believable in boxing. My point is to believe and knock you out. But
my point is that they do. So you still. It's not like you're not getting hit. You're still getting hit. It just
correct. But you're not doing it with the intention of stopping your career. Whereas in boxing MMA, you are. I'm trying to take you out.
And you're okay. So somebody gets knocked down in a boxing match and just doesn't get up by the 10 count, but how many times do they come back and still be able to continue to box?
They can box, but my sole purpose to enter that ring is to take you out.
And how many times does that actually happen?
It's happened.
Guys have done it. How many times does it actually happen?
I'm not a boxing connoisseur. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I do know that my purpose
twice a year. They do it like 2-3 times a year.
But my purpose to enter the ring is not to help support my teammate.
So that might be the most dangerous sport. Mm-hmm. Yes, I might agree with that, but that's not the toughest to do.
Oh no, that's the toughest to go through. I think that and even so, here's the other thing. With wrestling, right? It depends on the wrestler. Some wrestlers are a little bit more outrageous, a little bit more crazier with their stunts.
Absolutely.
And some of the things they do, which means that not every wrestler is going to go do a suplex off a 30-foot cage.
But some of them, take the crazy moves out of it, just like life, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think everybody on a football team or NFL team get along?
No.
Everybody in a locker room doesn't get along. So they have a concept where there are certain guys, they'll say, oh yeah, he worked stiff, which means they will really lay those shots in there, right? Mm. And if I lay a shot in you and I'm stiff, that means I really put it on you to the point where that could have really hurt you. Mm. And then they come back with receipts later.
Sure.
I'm going to come back and give you your receipt. So you have guys who or gals who will work stiffer than others. No, I'm dead serious. This is no joke. They will work stiffer than others that they're just harder to work with.
Sure. That's like
being of it you hear, right? So the old school Ric Flair chops, right? They're not faking that noise. Mm. He's chopping the living shit out of somebody's chest.
Okay.
Right? And the whole arena can hear that smack. Mm. Right?
Is this, so just for our audience, is it when they throw them against the ropes and they're running back and they kind of slap them really hard across the chest with the backhand?
So he would do it in a variety of different ways. Okay. Yeah, but then there's like another guy, Sheamus, right? He gets his guy tangled on the ropes and then he like holds their head back with his left hand. He holds their head back and he just beats his fist on the chest. And I mean, like some guys you see, like it'll just, it turns red as hell because they just are getting walloped by this, and he's like built jacked, like he's jacked as shit. So like, so that's what I'm saying, like it's, but they do it night in and night out for, let's say, 275 nights a year. Like the level of physicality that they endure, the level of pain that they endure will far supersedes what any one boxer will see in a year. Because they only will do three fights, max. They spend 6 months doing nothing but training. These guys, and not only are they doing it, not only are they having the physicality, but think about us, right? Like you travel somewhere on a business trip, right? You take a business trip somewhere, you come back, you go from one area to another, you're changing time zones. What are we all like? Oh, we're fatigued, we're tired. We did, like, they're either driving or flying all around the country for 270 days a year, trying to find gyms. They got to go work out, get their workouts in before they go to the arena so that they can keep their bodies in shape, so they can keep themselves, you know, keep their athleticism up and be ready to go and still go through the same physicality every night.
So
when I went to the house show, just to give you an example, when I went to the house show here in Fairfax back in July, when I took D, all right, so in the one match, the they had a spot where they took the turnbuckle off, the padded turnbuckle, which has nothing but a piece of metal behind it, right? And I think the idea was that they were going to like hit somebody's head off of it and, oh, like, oh, he hit it off the metal. What? Well, dude ended up a little too hard. Error of margin of error is super slim. And he started bleeding, or what they say is he got color the hard way, meaning he wasn't supposed to bleed.
Okay.
It wasn't part of the entertainment, the script, but because they messed up in the ring, he ended up a bloody mess because he got color the hard way. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, at any given moment, you're now dealing with a potential injury or something that, again, every single night can happen to you. Versus training for 6 months for one fight.
Listen, the fact that you had to say the term script
in
itself is the theatrical part of it.
So that's
when I pick this guy up and I gotta make sure I'm holding him right or her right to get this land correct,
that's not what's scripted.
But that part of it where you're helping, it's almost like you're teammates for entertainment. Yeah, you're hurting and hitting each other, doing it for
but it still hurts. It doesn't matter.
Agreed, but your purpose of being there, your purpose is not there to hurt.
But that's why it's the toughest, just because you have to do it so frequently over time.
No,
if you were to say
that
most dangerous, yes, I would agree with you that boxing or MMA would be most dangerous because of the fact that your purpose is to hurt the other person. What I'm saying is how I'm defining toughness, and we'll see how listeners define toughness, is it's not just the physical, it's the physical pain, it's the amount of athleticism that you need to have to actually perform the sport and the duration of time that you do it.
So that's my question. So I want to have two questions. You made a point. And this is just me asking a question, trying to learn. Is it not the WWE's responsibility, or as an employer, to provide the facilities for these athletes to go?
They're not employees of the WWE.
So what is?
They're like independent contractors.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're not
contractors. So that right there is a little wrinkle, right? So That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. I don't know what the business format or layout is of, UFC. I don't know.
Yeah. So they have a contract with the WWE, but that contract is of them being an independent contractor.
Okay.
Right. So,
now would I put it in the top, you know, top five? Absolutely. Strictly based off of the duration and the frequency of having to do it.
Yeah, it's in the top one.
I would put it in the top five, not the one. Definitely not the one.
The most dangerous is definitely boxing or MMA, but that's not the toughest.
Because the other thing I look at it is this, that not every wrestler is doing every crazy thing out there. Some are just, you know, doing what they're doing.
No, but even simple things like...
I don't recall Rock ever having to do some crazy...
No, but
correct me if I'm wrong here.
Well, so number one, the athleticism has amped up, just like every sport, right? Like, football is one way, but they're all better athletes now. So that the speed and everything has ramped up.
More offensive minded.
But they still had hardcore matches back then. They still had the chair shots. They still have, like, when you're on a ladder match and you fall off a ladder, like, bro, every time they do a ladder match and somebody falls off the ladder, I'm so scared someone's gonna break their ankle, just shatter their ankle. Because they're falling down from a 12-foot ladder onto this hard surface, right? Mm. And so, like, yeah, not everybody does the crazy moves, but everybody everybody still takes the bumps. The bumps, the simplest of the simple bumps hurt. Firing somebody full speed into the ropes hurt. If you hear any top wrestler talk about the physicality of wrestling... Mm. Like, you just take it for granted, like us, not you, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about you specifically, but like viewers take it for granted. Like, oh yeah, he just threw him into the ropes. But like, those ropes hit your back, and if you're running full speed against those ropes, they hurt. It still, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're still running into something that's coiled and springing you back forward. Like, that time after time, there you can actually see sometimes where there's like marks where people will get from the ropes. Like, even the simplest things still cause pain, because even though the outcome is scripted and we might know, like, okay, here's a couple things we know we want to do in the match, right? Like, I want to, let's say I want to fight with you outside in the crowd, we're gonna go do this, like, we'll talk about that beforehand, but that doesn't change the physicality that happens while you're doing it. And on top of it, you're doing it with, you know, 10,000 people screaming and cheering, watching your every move. And you have to make it entertaining while also dealing with the physicality of it at the same time. Every single night.
So the thing that makes me respect it is the fact that you're doing it frequently. The frequency with which you're doing it is respectable.
No, that's a big reason why I chose it.
But the purpose of you being there, that part to me is, I'm not buying it. That it being as the toughest sport. No. Is it a top five? Yes, it is. The top one? Absolutely not. And I love to hear what
the viewers have to say about this.
Reason I brought that earlier up, the part earlier with how every wrestler is not doing the same thing, right? The same types of moves. Everybody has their own style, right? Mm-hmm. Boxers also have their own. Some are more defensive boxers, some are more offensive.
Some are just going to dance around and try not to get hit.
Whereas...
How's that tough?
So whereas, the other part of my answer was that the triathlon... Every single athlete has to endure and go through that. There is no avoiding it.
But they're not doing it 270 days a year.
Correct. But no wrestler is also wrestling for 13 hours straight.
No, I mean.
So that itself, it's that mental toughness to that is ridiculous. That's nonsense. To get to the PhD level.
It's
crazy. Nonsense
for that 13 hours, yeah.
So again, it just looks on how, as you as a person, how do you vary to different degrees of whatever it is that you prioritize?
That's what I'll be interested
to see.
So
I'm really interested to see how everybody thinks about it. But I learned a lot about wrestling. Thank you, sir.
Oh, there's a lot more. We have to We have to have a Ken's wrestling segment.
Ken is a huge wrestling fan, by the way. So, but, yeah.
Bro, because I just, like, and so let's take some of the more hardcore sports out there. Sure. But if you look at, like, the common sports, I just think that even though I love football, and I love basketball, and as athletic as those guys are, it doesn't even compare to me to the level of athleticism.
You know what's crazy? They don't get compensated nearly as much as the other sports do.
Not even close.
Right? So that's itself.
Not even close. Yeah. I mean, you in the NFL, you got mid-tier guys that'll make, you know, $9 million, $10 million. Right. Like, that's unheard of. That would be like top guy money.
Right.
Top girl money in WWE. Your mid-level might be like $650,000, which is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, but still,
but,
though.
But when you think about it, right?
And how much are you working for that money versus... Part of it is
WWE don't pay for their travel.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Like, don't they have a bus, a shuttle to fly them and take them?
So some of the more top guys do, right? Mm. So like when I was there and we went to the back where they were at the end. And so like Seth Rollins has his own bus. Cody has had his own bus. Mm. There was another one, but I never saw who got on it. But then some of them just had cars and they were just driving it. So whether they were rental cars or whatnot, but they're probably rental cars because none of them were.
Right. Super. You put all those miles on your own car.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not putting those miles, and I'm sure they have much nicer cars than you know, Santa Fe or something.
Right. Not that it's a bad car.
Not that it's a bad car, but just, course. Yeah. We don't got anything against Santa Fe. We're equal opportunity.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, like the fact is that you're just night after night after night.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Having to do the same thing, whereas football is once a week, basketball is maybe three to four times
a week. Yeah.
And you're even a basketball thing, you play 35 minutes
right
in one game. You know, you could wrestle a 25 minute match on a pay per view.
Yeah,
you could wrestle on a 30 minute match.
Yeah,
some they do. They have the 60 minute. Ironman matches.
Right.
So, you know,
So I was going to mess with you earlier and I decided not to. I was going to be like, you know what I think the toughest sport is? You remember back in the day, there was a show called Gladiators?
Yes.
That is the toughest sport. No. It's not. But I was just going to mess and just kind of go through a whole like why that is. But again, there's a documentary that came out, the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And dude, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but it's crazy. Like the injuries that they suffered as part of that. Just being part of that and how they had zero rules in the beginning. So I was just going to mess around with you that.
Well,
although I still think marriage is the toughest sport. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sell
me
there.
I'm going to leave that alone. Let our female viewers take hack down for that.
No, it could be the other way. It doesn't have to be females. It can be the other way too.
I mean, yeah. So
it's in marriage, not,
but I mean, it's just coming from a man's perspective. So,
all right.
So I'm gonna leave you with one honorable mention as a parting gift.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say a name because he dominates this sport.
Okay.
Joey Chestnut. Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Joey Chestnut. I heard about him.
Bruh.
How many does he down?
My God. It's ridiculous. He's like in the 60s, 70s, I think. I believe. I guess it's probably wrong.
He's the one who also did the lemonade, right? How many gallons of
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. That is ridiculous. That is insane. That is insane.
So shout out to Joey Chestnut. That is our honorable mention for toughest sport.
Yeah, respect to you, brother.
But on that note, anything else you want to add to that? I'm just very curious to see. So let us know.
Yeah.
You know what y'all think.
Absolutely.
And which ones? I think they're gonna agree with me that yours were dangerous, but not the toughest to participate in.
So we shall see.
We shall see. But with that, as always, think RBA. Peace.